The views and opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily those of this station, JVC Broadcasting Management, or its sponsors.
And we'd like to welcome you to another edition of Spotlight on Long Island Schools on 103.9 LI News Radio and streaming live on the web at linewsradio.com. I'm your host, Bob Vecchio. Be sure to like our Facebook page, Spotlight on Long Island Schools. Suggest a program, club, or activity that your kids are involved in, and your district may be the next one right here in our spotlight. This week's spotlight takes us to an education partner in most communities across Long Island, and we're going to be speaking with the folks from Long Island Head Start, and we're going to find out all about Head Start because they do a tremendous amount of work across Long Island. They've been around a long, long time, and I'm actually excited to have a conversation with these folks to learn more about it. I know a little something about Bay Area Head Start, which is in my home district, but there's a lot of other services that go on, so I want to introduce Diane Ippolito, correct, Long Island Head Start. Welcome to Spotlight on Long Island Schools, Diane.
Thank you.
So Long Island Head Start, first off, it's been around a long time. When did Long Island Head Start start up?
It started 1966, which is 1 year after the federal program.
And that would be 51 nationally. Because I turned 50 this year and I was born in 67. So it's been around for a while. And like you said, it was started up with a federal program.
It's a federally funded program. It was started in 1965 to address the war on poverty by President Johnson. And it started as a summer program just to kind of try it out. And then it bloomed into a full year, full day program.
So take us through a little bit about what the program is and what you guys are involved in.
Okay. So we serve over 2,000 children and families annually. We have Head Start, which is children aged 3 to 5, and then Early Head Start, which is children 0 to 3, infants and toddlers. And we also serve expectant women. So Early Head Start started much later, back in the 90s.
And what are some of the services that you would offer these different age groups and the moms as well?
So we're basically an early childhood education program, and Head Start started to prepare children for kindergarten, to help at-risk families, disadvantaged families, prepare and be ready for kindergarten. So that was a primary focus of Head Start. But the founders of Head Start knew that it wasn't just about educating children, that if children weren't well physically, if they were hungry, or if they had a toothache, that they weren't going to do well in school, no matter how much education you gave them. So what sets Head Start apart from other programs is that we provide comprehensive services. So we provide health services, mental health services, nutrition services. We serve children 2 full meals per day if they're in a full day program, and a snack that's cooked on the premises. So they get hot meals each day, breakfast, lunch, and snack. And
hunger is a major issue on Long Island. And for some of our students, my own district included, we have 67% of our kids on free and reduced lunch. Some of the best nutrition they're getting is through programs offered through Head Start and in their home school districts as well. And it's a problem that's grown over the last few years. We haven't seen it decrease at all as the economy got worse.
Yes.
More families were struggling and continue to struggle. So to have these programs out there. And you said you're servicing about 2,000 families
Between the three programs that we have, Head Start, Early Head Start, and then we have a new program, Early Head Start Child Care Partnership, we serve over 2,000 families annually.
Wow. And how many locations do you have on Long Island?
We have 25 locations throughout Suffolk County in different parts. And 10% of our children, or 10% of our slots, are left for children with disabilities. So if a child is not on target developmentally, and they qualify to receive special services, then they are listed as a child with a disability, and they can receive those services on site, whether it be special education or speech therapy. Most of the children that we have in our program either receive speech therapy or special ed services.
Right, and the earlier the intervention with the services, the more success the child will have and try to get them on par so that when they enter kindergarten, they're pretty much at a pretty good level if you've been successful, or if they are still a little bit behind, they're much further along than they would have been without those services. I mean, that goes without saying. And it sounds like you guys offer a tremendous amount of services. I can't imagine that this is all covered through federal funding. So what are some of your other funding sources?
Well, we do have UPK. So we have about 200 children in the program that we're serving in Universal Pre-K program.
And that's
so
a state-funded grant program that runs through local school districts. It's a pass-through grant where a school district will contract with a provider like Head Start so that it's a formalized universal pre-kindergarten program. There's a curriculum, and it's aligned with the district. And so there is some state funding for that.
Correct.
And about how many students are you serving in your UPK program?
Approximately 200.
Yeah, that's
and we have three school districts, and they're in four centers, four Head Start centers.
And what are some of the services you alluded to it earlier? In addition to dealing with, you know, 0 to 3 and 3 to 5, you're also dealing with some of the moms. What are some of the services that you're offering?
So another thing that sort of sets Head Start programs apart from other child care facilities is our parent involvement program. And we have a policy council that helps to govern the program. They have to approve policies. They have to approve our refunding grant. They have to approve different things that we do in the program. So their representatives from each of our centers get elected by parents and then sit on a policy council.
So it's parent-led, parent-driven, kind of, you know, it's instant survey, instant feedback for you as an organization.
Correct.
Very smart.
Correct. So they, along with the board, govern the program. And they have a say in the curriculum that we use and the assessment tools that we use. And so that piece is very different from a regular child care program. Aside from that, we have an open door policy. So parents are welcome to come into the program at any time during the day when their children are there to volunteer. In fact, we encourage it, because we know that if they're involved in their child's education in the early years, that they're going to stay involved. So we want, and their children will do better. So we want them involved in every level of the program. So parents come in, they help their children take their jackets off, wash their hands, get them ready for school, and maybe read them a book. Parents will come in and do different literacy activities with the children during the day. And so
this way you build that strong partnership between the child, the parent, what you're doing at your program, and hopefully translating into supporting it and continuing it at home, because strong communities, strong partnerships are great for strong school programs.
Correct. And we also give parents at-home activities to do with their children so that they learn how to take just the everyday activities that they do at home with their children and with themselves, that they can use those as learning experiences. So
and there's been a lot
understand.
Of changes in education, too. So a lot of parents just need to, you know, listen, everybody's an expert about education because we all went to school, right? That's the old expression. But, you know, school when we went through is very, very different than what our students are experiencing, particularly in K through 12 and trickling down to the UPK programs as well. So you kind of help guide those parents about these changes, and you know what the alignment is because you're in constant communication with the districts as well. Diane, how long have you been involved with Long Island Head Start in particular?
I've been working for Long Island Head Start for 16 years. I started as a...
So you're a rookie.
Yeah, I started as an early Head Start teacher in our Patrick Early Head Start program, and kind of have held different positions within the agency.
Me as a parent, brand new child, why is early childhood education so important? I'm so busy, but why is this important to make the time?
It's a great question. The human brain is the only organ that is not fully developed at the time a child is born. And between the ages of 0 and, say, 6, about 95% of the brain is developed at that time.
The formative
so there's
years,
a right. There's a huge amount of learning that goes on in those early years that we kind of take for granted, and we don't realize that it's not just the child learning on his own, but there's the experiences that are going on that is helping all those neuron connections take place in a child's brain that helps them learn and provides that foundation for learning. So that in of itself is very important. And if people understand that, they'll understand that those experiences that a child has in those early years are really,
critically
really important.
I mean, that is the ultimate building of the foundation for what they're going to be doing years and years beyond the walls of Long Island Head Start. We also have Anna from Long Island Head Start. Anna, welcome to Spotlight on Long Island Schools.
Thank you.
How long have you been associated with Long Island Head Start, and what do you do for them?
I have been with Long Island Head Start for 11 years now. and I work with the policy council directly, empowering those parents that are now making decisions for the entire agency, and also all of the parent committees at the center level, which we have 17 of them.
How do you go about making sure parent engagement? Because that's a big issue, either pre-K or all the way up to 12th grade. How do you make sure parent involvement stays pretty high?
We have to be able to meet parents where they're at. We have to be able to catch their interest and see what it is that they're looking for, not just provide something because we feel that it's something that is needed for them without knowing what their background is, their history is, and really what their interest comes up with at this point. So whether it's financial literacy, or I just want to be able to put a resume together because I need to get back to work, or want to take ESL classes, we have to be able to meet those needs. And the only way we meet those needs is by knowing what the parents' interests are.
Awesome. When we come back from the great break, we're going to continue our conversation with the folks from Long Island Head Start about what they continue to be up to and some of the other ways that you, the public, can help Long Island Head Start. You're listening to Spotlight on Long Island Schools on 103.9 LI News Radio.